This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now we're talking about beef stew.
Beef stew.
Try this
beef stew.
Try this
beef stew.
Yeah. Welcome to another great show. You know how we do it on the Monday Night Talk on Beef Stew Radio. I am your host, DJ Big Stew, in the building. And I got my partner in crime, plus my family, the Chapper, in the building. What's good, Chap?
Yes, sir. What's going on, man? You know what's going on tonight?
What's going on?
No, you know what's going on, but I'm saying that because I'm speaking to the listeners out there. Tonight we got a very special guest. We have an author.
Yes, we do.
Ms. James.
Very
Congdon.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Ms. Congdon, are you there?
Congdon,
sorry. I got a lisp. Excuse me. How are you today? Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm great. Thank you.
The first question I want to ask you is how long have you been writing?
I have been writing probably since I was 16 years old, but this is my first book.
Okay. Now, what was it about Dracula that electrified you?
Well, I saw a movie, one of the English movies, with Christopher Lee when I was 13 years old, and I was just mesmerized by him in the part, and I loved the book, loved the movie, so I read Bram Stoker's novel, loved it too, and I really couldn't have told you any more than that, except it was a typical kid just being interested in something scary at the time. It took a trip to Transylvania for me to really understand how it connected to me.
Now, how did you get to the point that you took a trip to Transylvania?
Well, as soon as I came out of the movies that night, I wanted to go because I was just transfixed and I was fascinated by the place that would have been the home of Dracula. And I thought that someday I would like to go there, but it was about 50 years before I really made it. And I still wanted to. And in the meantime, I had thought about becoming a travel writer, so I just thought that would be a natural trip to take.
Mm. So, you know, what, it didn't scare you at all? Like nothing the whole trip? You know, knowing where you was going and things that you might would have saw or could have seen?
Did it scare me?
Yeah.
No, not really. I sort of knew that there wouldn't be a real vampire Dracula there, and I wanted it to be somewhat scary because that's what we go to Transylvania for. I mean, the creation of that whole aura of fear and something bone-chilling is really what attracts people who are fans of Dracula. But was I afraid for my life? No, not anything like that.
Okay. Now, I read in your book, I mean, the insert that you had in your book, you dealt with a mother who was dealing with alcohol, right? How did all that affect, you know, your thoughts, too, about you going to Transylvania? Did that have a part with you going out there, too?
Well, I didn't connect it at all. When I was growing up, my mother did drink, and it wasn't very pretty at our house sometimes. And one of the ways I escaped was through the movies, but I didn't connect the two. And then when I went to Transylvania, I was already grown, and I was even a grandma. And when I was there, the landscape, the mountains and the trees and just a lot of things reminded me of my hometown, which was in West Virginia. And I started having memories of my childhood and just different things that had happened. And when I came home and started to write the book, I had even more of those memories. And I realized that I had been living in a house in the mountains near a river with someone who had an unending thirst, sort of like Dracula, only it wasn't for blood, it was for alcohol. And the suspense that you live with in a situation like that is very similar because something bad is going to happen and you just don't know when.
Now, you know, what would you tell somebody that might not believe? Because, you know, it's kind of odd just to hear somebody goes to Transylvania and, you know, look, you know, research Dracula and stuff like that. What would you, you know, what would you tell somebody that they have that same type of drive and that same type of hunger to do something for themselves like that?
Well, I would probably tell them to do it. It's a fascinating trip, and in fact, in 2009, 7 million people went there. Not all from America, but the visitor statistics are going up for Romania, and they have taken advantage of the fact that it's known for Dracula, even though I'm sure many times they would like us to focus on other things. But I don't know. I mean, that was a dream of mine. If it's your dream or if it's someone else's dream, I say do it. I admired a woman who is known to be a Dracula expert the world over. Her name's Dr. Elizabeth Miller, and she lives in Canada. And she went in 1994 alone, as I did, and she posted her trip to the Internet. And I read about it and just thought, since it was a real place, I mean, so many things you read about, you really can't go there, but this was a real place, so it just attracted me.
So if you went by yourself, you didn't have, when you was out there, you didn't have a guide, you traveled
by yourself?
I did
have a guide, but I traveled there alone. I didn't take anyone with me.
Okay.
And the reason was I already knew that I was going to write a book, and I wanted to do that, and I didn't want to be distracted, and I wanted to be able to create the itinerary that I needed to have and not necessarily what someone else might want to do. Plus, you're right, there aren't that many people that are ready to go to Transylvania. So if I had wanted to take someone, I don't know who it would be.
So what is it like, you know, when you got out there, how was the people? How did they treat you and the scenery?
Oh, they're just as nice as they can be. Everybody's very nice. Some spoke English, some did not. But I did have a Romanian guide, and he was English-speaking, so he helped me when the translations came up. The landscape was very, very beautiful, just stunning. Mountains and green pine, just thick with pine trees and valleys and hills and haystacks. And some of it looks like it has stood still in time because it's just like farms out in the country and beautiful streams and rocks and, you know, you just expect a fish to jump up any minute. Animals, there are lots of animals there, lots of rural areas. The cities are modern, but yet there are traces of the communist period when buildings were just kind of blockish and not always finished. So overall, and you don't want it to be exactly like home, but it did remind me of where I grew up.
Okay. Now, you know, you talk about forgiving. Like,
uh-huh.
Who was it that you forgave after your trip?
Well, I forgave my mom, and her story is in that book, too. And it turned out to be a good story because she did change her whole life. And
mm-hmm.
It really, I didn't do it. She did it when we weren't even living in the same town. But I forgave her because you do that for your own peace of mind. It's to make us rest and be peaceful about things. And so that's one thing I learned. And then, you know, I'm easier on myself now, too, because I revisited my life and just kind of learned that my mother's drinking was not my fault and that sometimes when she said mean things to me, they weren't necessarily true. It was something coming out of that disease of alcoholism. So I learned to accept myself better, and I learned that I did not ask for or deserve those things that happened. So I could sort of forgive myself, too.
Oh, okay. I'm glad, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's all
right. How many books have you written yourself?
Just that one, but I'm working on another one.
Okay.
And that's a co-authoring project. But this is my first book.
I mean, your book seems really interesting, like, and it's kind of real intriguing. You know, I just want to, you know, like, after the trip, you came back, you wrote your book, and how did you feel after all that? You felt like you accomplished, like your life was fulfilled and accomplished?
Well, the book took 5 years to write. So I felt good that I had finished that project because actually When you grow up in an alcoholic home, you don't always learn what the steps are in finishing something. And there were many times in my life when I did not finish projects. And I had told people I was going to write a book. And when I retired in 2009 from my publishing job, my boss announced to the entire company that I was writing this book and gave the title of it. So I just thought, okay, this can't be one of those projects that I don't finish. I have to complete it. So that was my incentive. And I felt good about that. But I felt good inside because the story that I wrote was a travel story about being in Transylvania. But the story about my family wrote itself. I didn't really expect at all to write about my mom and my family. I mean, to expose some of our family secrets that way. I didn't intend to do that at all, but it turned out all right because it was a good story in the end, and it made me heal a little bit. So that was good.
Did that
answer your question?
Yeah, you did. So, but, you know, I have one more. I mean, now I have a few more, but
keep the one more I want to know
that's connected to that one is, being that you said that, how did family members feel when they first read the book, like your mother and other people in your family? Did anybody take offense to it?
Not that I know of. Now, my mom did develop Alzheimer's, and she passed away in 2008. So she did
not. Sorry to hear that.
Thank you. She did not see the book. She knew I was writing a book. She was very puzzled as to why I would go to Romania in the first place because I really probably hadn't ever talked much about it. But anyway, so she did not read the book. If she had lived, people will ask me, you know, if your mom was alive, you know, do you think you still would have done it? I don't know. I don't know that answer. But maybe if I were would have been able to communicate with her about it, yes. My brother, I have one brother, and he has been very, very supportive. And I have two cousins and an uncle that live in another state, and they have been very supportive also. So I haven't had any trouble like that.
Okay.
Hope I don't.
I hope you don't either.
Thank you.
Now, Dracula, right? In the movies, he's this debonair, suave type of guy. You know, he's like a romantic type of guy.
That's right.
Is that something that kind of took your fascination to?
I'm sure it did. I mean, when I was 13, Christopher Lee, who played Dracula in the movie that I really liked the best and the first one I saw, was 35 years old. And he was tall. He's like 6'4". And there was something romantic about it, yes, definitely. I probably couldn't have put that into words then, the same way I probably could not have explained to you, and if you gave me $1 million, what it had to do with my mom's drinking. You know, I couldn't articulate that. I was just a kid.
Okay. Now, as a journey writer, where have some of the places you've been to other than Transylvania?
Well, I haven't traveled a whole lot overseas, but I've been to Greece and Turkey, and I did go to India on business, and that was a wonderful trip too. As far as being a travel writer, you know, I don't know if that will really pan out a whole lot, but I'm going to write, and I continue to write, but I don't know if it'll all be about travel.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, where do people get your books at? Where can anybody get a copy of your book at?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They can get it online in paperback or Kindle version or Nook, depending on whether they go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Books A Million carries it. And I Googled myself every now and then just to see what's out there. And there are so many outlets that are selling that book online that it shouldn't be difficult to get. And as far as a bookstore, I would say that anyone who goes into a bookstore, if they don't happen to have it at that minute, they could order it. But there's one thing. I started out writing a travel book, and it actually ended up, because it was about my family and the alcoholism issues, it ended up on the self-help shelf in the bookstore a lot of the time. So if people can't find it, they should try there.
Oh, because the book must be inspiring then if it's like self-help, then, you know. Which one?
Well, it has. And, you know, I didn't set out to write that. As I told you, I wasn't going to write about the alcoholism and my family. It just sort of wrote itself. But since it came out, people have told me that it helped them because they. I got a note from one person. She said, "I was always so sad as a child because my father was depressed, and I, you know, so many things went on in our family, and I thought I was alone. And you've made me feel that I was not." So people have told me that it has. You know, they come forward after they read it and say, "Well, you know, as a matter of fact, this happened to me, and I feel better now because I read your book." So that's great.
Oh, that is great. So, you know, I'm real curious now. Now that everything, you're still fascinated with Dracula?
I am, yes. I read it twice more. When I read it before I went on my trip. I had read it in high school, and I read it when I was writing the book. And I am fascinated by it. Yeah.
Could you see your book becoming a movie?
Absolutely. And you know what? Two or three people have already suggested it. And I know that my publisher, who is Betty Youngs, who was on your station just a few days ago.
Yeah, she was on Nicole's show.
Yes, and I just heard that interview, and she did talk about the book, and I know mm-hmm. that she believes it should be a movie, but even a couple of the people who read it have written to me and said, "Oh, I can just see this as a movie." And one person said, "I think Sandra Bullock should play you," and I'm thinking,
wow.
Okay, you know, I don't know if she'd like that, but I'd be flattered.
And who would play the young version of you? Who do you think would play you young and, you know, to now?
Well, young, I don't know, but I was thinking either Diane Keaton or Annette Bening would be good.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good company.
It is good company. Well, you know, aim high.
So now, what's your next book? What should we expect from your next book?
My next book is due to the publisher this summer, and probably, if all goes well, will be out in 2013. And that is the book I'm co-authoring with my brother, and it's about him. The title's Mr. Joe. And the neat thing about that is it's got a ghost theme. And he was he had one job for 14 years as a school custodian in a place that was believed to be haunted. And it's about some of the things that happened there and some of the things he saw. But it's also about the ghosts of his past. So that fits in rather nicely with, it's a memoir, it fits in with how he dealt with the same issues that, you know, the issues that were in our family and his own life after he grew up.
Okay. Now, when you ran into some of these issues, did you go and write? Like, did you run somewhere and write? Was that what you were doing at 16 years old or even younger?
I did. But lots of times it was starting things and not finishing them. But I did get a typewriter for my 16th birthday. I thought it was really important for me to just officially start. And I started what I thought would be a book, but of course, you know, it didn't turn into a whole book. But and from time to time I've kept a journal too, especially as an adult, not so much as a kid, but after that.
So before you wrote books, if you don't mind me asking, what was your profession?
I don't mind you asking at all. I started out as a school teacher. I got out of college and had an education degree and taught school for a year. And I got married, and I was moving around to different places with my husband. So I mostly substituted instead of had a full-time job. And I had a couple other jobs, but my main career was in educational publishing. And I worked for a textbook publisher here in Cincinnati, and it was a fabulous job. I had different kinds of editing jobs. I really liked to edit, and I got some travel as a result of one of those jobs and got to work with authors and got to travel around and meet teachers and educators. So it was great.
Okay. Now, as a teacher, and you might have seen kids that you might have felt that might was going through what you was going through. How, you know, did you ever run across that? Like, you might have seen a kid with maybe some symptoms that you might have felt you had when you was younger?
Do you mean the ability to write, or do you mean alcoholism?
going through, you know, needing an outlet from dealing with issues at home. I should have said that a little more ago.
Oh, well, I can't think of anybody in particular. I'm sure that was the case, but I right now I can't think of one. Yeah. You know, for years, though, I tried to put all that behind me. And that was the significance of the Transylvania trip, because it came back. And I really do think, I believe that we do have an inner child, and I really do believe that that little girl came on that trip with me. And she's the one that kind of prompted those memories and helped me to write that part of the book that, that helped me heal.
Okay. Now, I got another question for you. I mean, well, you said you was married. You're married. You're still married.
No, I was.
Oh, so when you went to Romania, was you married?
No.
So did you find romance out there?
I think it's a romantic country.
Place.
Let's just say that. Let's say it's a nice romantic place, and
that's
I had a handle. And I had a handsome guy, but no, I will not.
Did you find your Dracula? That's what I'm really basically saying.
Oh, Dracula. Well, you'll have to. Did you read the book?
I'm still reading it. You know.
Okay. Well, I'm not gonna spoil it for you, but don't overexpect on that Dracula thing.
But at least now you said that. Now you got me ready to read it some more, because now I'm really curious now.
Oh, cool.
But once again, now can you tell the people one more time where to get your book?
Well, it's available. Actually, I have a website that is my name. It's www.janecongdon.com. And it can be ordered through that. It can be ordered through the Betty Young's Books website, which is my publisher. And that's it's long, but I'll tell you anyway. It's www.betteyoungsbooks.com, Betty Young's Books, or Amazon has only 9 left, so hurry, but Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and if you Google It Started With Dracula, you get lots of different choices that come up.
Okay.
And, go to your local bookstore, and if they don't have it in stock right then, they will be happy to order it. And it comes in Nook, Kindle, and paperback.
Now, Chopper, you know, you don't have nothing you want to say before she leave?
Actually, I have a question. Regarding, the whole vampire thing has really, really become a real phenomenon lately with the latest generation, with Twilight and everything. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to watch any of that, but what do you feel comparatively to what you knew as the debonair Dracula compared to what they've now made of the vampire types?
Okay, how does my debonair Dracula compare to the Twilight and the newer vampires? They're still debonair. I mean, I think Robert Pattinson is just as cute as he can be. I'm a little old for him, but I have read all the Twilight.
Don't say that.
Well, just a little. I said just a little. I have read the Twilight books, and I've seen all the movies so far, and I think it's a great story. I don't read every vampire book, and I don't do all of that, but I certainly, and it is night and day. It's very mm-hmm. different. Some of the more modern movies I really have a hard time with. Like once I went to a college and we watched Horror of Dracula, which is my favorite movie from 1958, versus Van Helsing, which is from the 1990s. I can't remember when that was made, but totally different films, just totally different takes on things. And this is the 100-year anniversary of Bram Stoker's death this year, and so there are a lot of things going on, but the author of Dracula really did start something. I mean, if he only, I just hope that he knows wherever he is what has come about, probably because of what he wrote.
It's good that Capra brought that up, because I almost forgot to ask you this question. I have to ask you before you leave. Like he said about the Gothic scene. Now, there has been a lot of young kids drinking blood and dying from that. Do you have anything to say on that? Like, could you, with all your studies, Can you say something to kids out there that might be doing that?
Well, yeah, I'm not the expert, but I do know that people are doing crazy things sometimes. What I think is crazy, they might not. But, like, you know, sharpening their teeth and this and that and actually doing practicing vampire habits. And so the only thing I can say is just be careful and use good sense. That's all. I can't tell anyone what to do, but certainly, you know, we don't want to risk our lives or health. So just be careful and just kind of pay attention, take care of yourselves and others. That's it.
All right. So I want to
actually,
thank
I sounded like Jerry Springer, didn't I?
You sounded really good because, you know, I actually have a friend whose son died like that. So that's why I asked you that question. He actually asked me to ask you that question because he wanted to know, was it, you know, in Transylvania, were they drinking blood like that, youth? Was it the same way that it's in America, you know?
I don't know whether that's true. I certainly didn't see it myself. But, you know, there are people in the world who are. We know that. And anytime you're talking about blood and this exchanging blood in this day and age, it can be dangerous. So
yes,
just, you know, certainly don't do anything that would risk your life or health. That's all.
Well, thank you again for being on the show. It was real interesting. It was real great. I know the audience is really intriguing. I know a lot of people are going to get out there and get that book, and I'm going to finish reading it, and we're definitely going to support you here on Beef Stew Radio.
Fabulous. I'm so happy to be on the show, and thank you, Big Stew. It's been a great interview.
Thank you. And once again, thank you for coming.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mr. Kappa, I thought you was going to say something crazy, man.
Me?
Yeah, you know, I was scared. You know, I was a little scared because, you know, you like to go at that. You know, I said, damn, vampire. I said, cuz going to get crazy on him, man. He was quiet today, man.
I'm scared of vampires, man.
So you felt...
And she's cool with them.
What you felt if you said something to her, she's going to flip on you or something?
She might send some Dracula's my way. She's cool with Dracula's. You know, scared of Dracula's, you know what I mean?
So, that's crazy. Yeah.
One time in the hood, you know what I mean? In Brooklyn, actually, there was this heroin addict. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was done, and there was a vampire in the area, and he did. The heroin addict, and he got addicted to heroin. So this dude, he would fly, and then he would just kind of nod in midair, and before he hit the ground, he'd like kind of come to again and keep flying. It's
Yo,
crazy.
Where you be at?
It's on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and you put Dracula, if Dracula bites a heroin addict. Everybody go to YouTube and type that. And you'll actually see the vampire heroin addict. Like he was trying to bite someone else, and right before he bit them, he nodded out again.
So what you doing tonight, cuz? You rolling out with me, or you got some business to do, man? Because I know you always got some crazy business to do.
I don't know, man. It might be Xbox night, man. I still get my Xbox on, you know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to sit here and throw some joints back. I got my crates with me right now, man. I'm about ready to play a lot of jams. But not just like, you know, I don't want everybody, cause everybody know I play the old school hip-hop, the old school R&B. I'm going to really kind of get freaky tonight. I'm going to play a little bit of everything. You know?
Okay.
I might go old school Z100 tonight. I might,
yeah,
you know, cross over tonight. I'm thinking about it.
Well, I hear you, man. Well, you know, the listenership been going up, so I'm pretty sure, you know, you got extra, and you know, I know Jane has brought you some listeners that would definitely love that kind of pop Z100 mix. You know, play some Vampire,
yeah.
play Monster Mash or something, man.
I'm a rock the Casbah tonight.
Yeah, rock the Casbah.
That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna rock the Casbah tonight. Well, you know, we're going to take a station identification break, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to rock the house, yo.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew.
Beef stew.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was a great interview, you know? Very great interview. I like that.
Yeah.
I like when it's weird and it's crazy. But now it's time to get into some music. This is your man DJ Big Stu with the Kappa. We are doing Throwback Monday. That's what we call this night, Throwback Monday. We throw everything back. We just go back. You know what I'm saying? I might give you some Milli Vanilli. I might give you a little bit of everything. But we're going to get into some music right now. And then me and Kappa are going to come back, you know, because Kappa's crazy. I don't know what he's going to say. And I wish I could. I should have somebody, you know, that little thing that goes, everything that Kappa say is not, put, you know, when they say thing like that, that's not, don't try this at home, or it's not the thoughts of the producers. I might have said to you like
that. I can only be heard.
Yeah, man. You know you're lucky you're not down with the Muslims, you know?
You are silent for 30 days. You are talking about Dracula.
Let's get into some music, y'all. We doing it.
Watching me. I pay the price. All I want is to be left alone.
told you I was going to cross over, dog. I told you I was going to cross over, dog. You ain't believe me? You hear that in the background? Yo, now while we got this record on, I was on the internet, right? And I ran into this crazy topic, man. It says, all the brothers that made the sisters and the white boys mad at them. You know why?
Why is that?
Because they were dating pretty white women.
Wait.
Gonna turn this down. Now, they said, is this thing that they said the brothers, right, that made the sisters and the white boys mad. These brothers, they named a bunch of brothers who dated pretty white women. They named a bunch of couples, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just want to go through them, and I just want to hear your opinion on all of them.
Okay, and the sisters were mad.
Huh? And the sisters was mad, and the white boys was mad, too, because these ladies are pretty white women.
Oh, okay. All right.
So they dating brothers. So the sisters and the white brothers was mad. The white brothers was mad at the white women, and the sisters was mad at the brothers. They did a survey.
All right? Okay.
Puff Daddy and Cameron Diaz, they was mad at that.
The sisters were mad?
The sisters was mad. I don't know. Her last name is Diaz. I thought she was Spanish.
I don't think she's white.
The sisters was mad. She ain't. Her name wasn't Shaniqua.
Yeah, so Shaniqua Diaz would have been different, huh?
Huh?
I said, if it was Shaniqua Diaz, it would have been a little different.
Probably so. Or Shaniqua Rodriguez.
Yeah, that one
don't
count. She's not white.
Well, they had that on the list. Then they had Ja Rule and Playboy twin Shannon Carissa. There's two twin sisters. They both in this.
He dated both of them?
No, he dated one of them. Somebody else dated the other twin. Sam Jones dated the other twin.
Okay, and the brother and the sisters were mad at Ja Rule for that?
Yeah, they was mad at Ja Rule for that. And the white boys was really mad at Ja Rule for that. Those are two twin sisters that be with Hugh Hefner.
Okay, alright.
So they was mad at that. Charles Barkley and Maureen Bloomhart Barkley. I don't know why they was mad at that.
They married the woman.
I don't know why they was mad at that. Somebody was mad. Maybe the white brothers was mad at that. Maybe they both was mad at them.
That's terrible. If I want to marry a white woman, that's terrible. It's terrible, Ernie, that these black women want to get mad at me for marrying the woman I love. It's terrible.
Yo, you do a good Charles Barkley, man. I never knew that. Now, Tracy Johnson and Tiki Barber.
I don't know who Tracy Johnson is.
Me neither, but that's what they said. If I would have thought Tracy Johnson was black, but obviously she's not.
Man, well, Tiki, come on, man. Sports figures? How many women outside of their race or culture are these dudes running through? You can't
now
even be mad.
One,
that's like a given. If you're an athlete, you're sleeping with someone outside of your race.
This one I disagree with. I think the sisters gave this one away. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think the sisters was mad at this. This had to be the white guys mad. Seal and Heidi Klum. I don't think the sisters
were
mad on that.
Yeah, you know these sisters wasn't checking for Seal.
Yeah. I don't think so.
You got the puzzle piece going. Now, is that like I want to know where the rest of the puzzle is. I think it's like probably like 20. If you get like it's 24 people in the Seal community, you know, and you put them together, it probably makes one picture, one big picture.
But, you know, they say Seal is abusive, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, bro. I mean, I guess he was tagging her up.
Yeah. Was he clubbing him?
Maybe.
That was bad.
Maybe, but, you know, that's, don't say that. We don't, let's take that back, because we don't club women on Beef Dude Radio.
No, what I'm saying, it would be weird if the Seal did the clubbing instead of being clubbed.
Oh, you know, oh my God. Now this one, I don't even know why they even brought this one up. I don't think this one should count because there's gonna be a lot of people, and people were mad at this one. They were so mad at this one. I mean, they were real mad at this one. OJ and Nicole Brown Simpson.
Yeah, but he got rid of her, allegedly.
Yo.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You know.
I'm gonna tell you.
Well, I mean, the glove didn't fit, but I'm saying, okay, let's put it this way. OJ, I think Paul Mooney said it. OJ wasn't black since the Heisman Trophy until he got in trouble. Then he became black again when he got in trouble. So he don't really count. You know
but
what I'm saying?
No, yo, he went out like a brother before he went to jail. When got the posse,
yeah,
round up.
Yeah.
The brother came out of him then. He round up and got his ass locked up. So he went out like a brother. Hate to say it.
He definitely did. Yo, his head is humongous, man.
Went out like a foolish brother. Not a smart
brother.
Because I wouldn't have
with him. How much material did they use for his helmet, though? He ain't need a helmet, man. He just put a number on the side of his head and put him on the field.
But let me tell you something, man. He could jump high with that big ass dome he had, man.
Oh yeah, no, you're right.
He's jumping over brothers.
You're right about that. Maybe
the commercial
on
the field.
Cranium.
All right, that's good. Now this one, I'm gonna tell you this one right here. I know for sure. You tell me if you know it. Just the, I don't even think the white guys was even mad on this one. I really don't. Flavor Flav and Bridget Nielsen. I don't even think the white boys. I think the white boys gave that one up.
They were meant for each other.
I think they just like, shit, somebody take her.
Yeah, two messes just molded together into one. Because, okay, put it this way. When Bridget Nielsen was in Beverly Hills Cop, she was on point. I can't front. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I forget which one it was. I think it was, what, two or three? I don't forget how many Beverly Hills Cops there was. She played the bad guy. She looked good, man. By the time Flavor got a hold of her, oh, my God. I'm sorry for anybody that loved Bridget Nielsen. I'm sorry. I'm sure she's a nice woman. But, dude, them cigarettes.
Flavor took her to the hood.
Face.
Flavor took her to the hood, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Gave her a couple of 40s, bounced her around the Bronx, took her around Grand Master Flash and the Gold Crush.
Bronx,
I mean, you know, that's what Flavor Roll, you know, took her around Grand Master Flash and the Cold Crush. You know, he done took her to the old stomping grounds.
Yeah,
but anyway, now this one, I don't know, Cap. I don't think maybe the sisters is mad, but I don't think no male will be mad with this one. Ice tea and cocoa.
Nah. Can't be mad at that.
You know, I really didn't even realize cocoa was white. The truth.
Yeah?
I really didn't realize. I thought she was just high yellow. How you gonna lie? I didn't even realize that.
You know what? That makes me think about something. You know, this is something actually a Caucasian colleague of mine from back in the day, my boy Peter, he said this to me one day with a straight face. He said, you know how they always say a light-skinned black person? How mm-hmm. come they never, how come we never say dark-skinned white?
Because that's Spanish.
So I had to get silent. I'm like, a dark-skinned white? I'm like, that doesn't quite work. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you have some dark, you know, like
they go get a tan. You get a tan.
You know, you have the Italians, and you know they can be.
Or some people from Greece.
Yeah, but
you won't have
nobody
from Ireland. You won't get a dark skinned white guy out of there. I doubt it. I doubt it, you know. But listen, that's like, but the thing is, you can go get a Caucasian person out of Africa, though.
Yeah.
No?
We won't get into that. They went.
I didn't mean to say that to you, Kappa Khan.
And they took it.
We're going to get back into some more music right now, okay?
Look, if there's any white girls out there that when you walk down the street with your black man and the women get mad, you know, call up. Maybe we'll talk to you in the next break, 914-338-1685. Or go to the blogtalk.com/BeastooRadio and scroll down and you'll see a little Facebook input. You know, I'm already on there. I know Stu is on there, so, you know, chime in. Let us know.
Let's get into some music, y'all.
I found your that you'd understand. We all need somebody to lean on. Lean on me. When you're not strong, and I'll be your friend, I'll help you carry on.
Lean on me.
Before, say it won't be long, till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on.
Cause as time goes by, you got to understand it's
Trent Darby looked, right?
You know what?
You remember how Terrence Trent Darby looked, right?
I don't.
Sort of like Ron. Kazoo.
All right. I know what you're talking about now.
Him and Jackie Stewart. The other one with the... You know, when I threw the song, first thing I thought about was my man Ron. Anyway, man, I got something to tell you, man, that happened out in Pittsburgh, PA, man. Something deep in the high school basketball game that's kind of deep and kind of shameful that happened on Black History Month.
Uh-huh.
It was out there. It's an annual basketball game that happens every year between Brentwood High School and Monessen High School. Monessen High School is obviously a Black high school, and Brentwood High School is a white high school. So, you know, at halftime, it was a good game, whatever the case may be. And at halftime, three of the Brentwood kids ran up off the bleachers and jumped in front of one of the kids on the Monessen team. And they started jumping around, and they started doing monkey noises and doing monkey sounds. And then other people and parents from the team, from the Brentwood team, they all started screaming out things like cotton picker, greyhound, monkey, and, you know, started at a basketball game. And the crazy part about it, man, that they had a each school come with their own security. They said the security for the Brentwood school, they didn't even do nothing. Parents was complaining because they were like, yo, and their school security, our school security was holding our kids. But their school security was sitting there just laughing and not even paying no attention. So that's something deep that happened out there in Pittsburgh, man.
That's disgusting, man. It just goes to show, man. It's that institution of racism that even when we talk about the strides that's been made, you know, it's not going away. Because it's each one teach one. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the parents are teaching them that, then they're going to go with it. You know what I'm saying? And that lack of understanding, to this day, you know, black people sometimes don't understand white people, and especially vice versa. White people don't really understand black people. You know what I'm saying? And it's that, not to get too deep, but it's really that white privilege. You know what I'm saying? They don't have to know us.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they think, it's okay, because there's privilege there. You know, we need to know them, but they don't need to know us.
Well, that was deep, you know, and I was very... And then the funniest part about it is that the Brentwood School was the visiting school. It wasn't like they was in their home school. They was actually visiting. And I said to myself, now that was New York, man. That would have turned into a major riot.
Yeah.
That would have turned into a major, severe riot that couldn't have been stopped, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and the main part about it, now this is what's even more disgusting about the whole situation, Cap, is that the school district, after everything happened, they didn't say nothing about it for a while. Then the swirl of the media, when the media started putting all the pressure on them and everybody and the parents and everybody started protesting, now they disciplined the two kids. But they never said the three kids. They never said what the three kids got. They never said nothing about the security guard, what they got. They just said, oh, we disciplined them. And we handled it. We did an investigation and we handled it. That they just, you know, what they did, put out a press release, you know, but they didn't never disclose actually what was the punishment, suspension, this, that. So
well,
we all.
There was no punishment. I mean, here's how I look at it, man. It might seem like a reverse racism, but it doesn't exist. You know, I don't believe in reverse racism. It's not possible. One must have power to be racist. But, you know, I just think, you know, truth needs to be spoken, man. You know, even if it comes down to people saying how they feel. Because once people really put it out there how they feel, you're able to examine and show them how stupid or ignorant these feelings are. But when they're kept amongst a certain few, it feels okay. But when you gauge it against the world, you'll see how they'll see how stupid these thoughts are. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. That's what's up, man. So that's what's going on. I got something else to say. I don't know if it even counts, and I know you don't like Basketball Wives, but you know the basketball player Matt Barnes, right?
Uh-huh.
He was going out with Gloria Govan. That's his wife, or, you know, fiance, rather, girlfriend, whatever they want to call it. You know, they broke up on the show. They you know, they both went public and say how much they broke up, this, and that. I don't know why this is news, but everybody's just talking about them because they, you know, they seen them at the Grammys together holding hands. They got kids together.
Uh-huh.
You know? They got kids together. I mean, you know, they probably both never got nobody permanent when they broke up, so they probably found through each other, but they making a big fuss over this. I don't know. And the crazy part, you know, all this Atlanta Housewives, Basketball Wives thing. Oh, but now I got a real twist. I'm going to blow your mind with what I'm about ready to tell you right now. Guess who's coming to Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Oh.
You wouldn't guess in a million years. But hold on. Before I do that, I definitely got to play this song because this is the real song that reminds you of our homeboy. Then I'm going to come back after this song, all right?
Not a word from your lips. Just took for granted that I want to skin it dip. A quick hit. That's your game. Still, I'm not a piece of meat. Stimulate my brain. Night is young, so are we. Let's get to know each other better so and easily. Take my hand, let's hit the floor. So come on, baby.
time with your body.
Now, you going to tell me you can't see Ron around somewhere jumping up, singing that?
Yeah, you should have put a picture of Ron up so people can see. Put a little comparison, you know?
Well, maybe we should put it up on the fan page on the website. Put a picture of Ron and a picture of Jermaine Stewart. I guarantee you, people won't say who is who. I'm ready to send it to what's her name? What's the Wendy Williams? Would she be having a lookalike? Oh man, every time, yeah, this song is crazy. It brings back memories, man. This was
about
the time.
That song, though, man.
Huh?
I didn't like that song.
You know, tell the people why you ain't like that song, man.
Cause, man, you know, that was the days, you know what I'm saying? We were shorties, but we were just starting to, like, you know, really get into, you know, getting that chick, you know what I'm saying? So you don't want to hear some girl trying to sing that anthem to you. We ain't got to take our clothes off. I wasn't drinking no cherry wine anyway. And I didn't want to hear that. Oh, we don't got to take our clothes off. Yes, we do.
All right, man. I'm over here spinning and listening to you at the same time. You got me dropping records, man. You know, you are a nut. But, yo, tell me, do you remember this one? I'm going to come back and I'm going to finish. Then we're going to get back to what I was talking about, man, about who's coming to Real Housewives of Atlanta. Let's do it.
Now she don't even know my name, but then she asked me just the same. Studio. Oh. Ah, if she called me, I'd be there. I'd come running anywhere. She's all I need. All of my life, I feel so good if I just say the word.
I remember this time because that's back when you used to have a little high top.
My high top.
You was a back
point.
Then, yo. Huh?
My high top was a little point, yeah.
I think you was a little dancer back then, too, right? Little Kwame movement. You think I'm crossing over enough, though, dog?
How far across you trying to go?
I'm just trying, you know. I'm just throwing it back on the throwback jams on Beef Stew Radio. You're chilling with DJ Big Stew in the cap, and we bugging out. I'm going to tell you, the person that's coming to the Real Housewives of Atlanta is Ted Turner's daughter, Laura Turner Seidel. She's the daughter of Ted Turner and the famous Jane Fonda. That's a twist for that show, right? They're hoping that she brings a little class and pizzazz, and the producer's feeling that, you know, her father, with all the big-time people he know, maybe she can, you know, bring some events and some and get them, and, you know, because they follow these people. So they were trying to follow her and get into some higher class level because for some reason, they're not liking what they're getting right now. So, you know, Sheree is coming. I mean, Nene's coming back. A few of them's coming back, but Sheree and the Pedra Parks. Them two is still negotiating. They're still holding out for a little bit more money. They're still negotiating, but that's what they did. They did a twist. They threw Jane Fonda. So, you know, they also hoping that Ted Turner and Jane Fonda come on the show. So, you know, they want to get a glance of that. So they're trying to take it to a higher level in Atlanta. Because they're supposed to be the, you know, Ted Turner and Jane Fonda is actually supposed to be Atlanta's elite.
All right.
So that's something new. I knew that would be a twist,
man.
For everybody. Huh?
I can't mess with them housewives shows, man.
Why, man? Just tell me why you don't like them, man.
I don't know what it is, man. I just don't, dog. I tried, man. I can't take it, man. Tackling. Can't take it, man. I can't even explain why, man.
This housewives coming out the woodworks, too.
Huh?
This housewives coming out the woodworks. You know, me and you supposed to be working on a show with some housewives, though. You can't take it, but you're a producer of a housewives show.
Yeah, but ours is going to be different, man. It's going to be more palatable.
Yeah.
You know, for the audience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's going to be enjoyable. Did you hear about Adele talking mess about Beyonce and Rihanna?
What's she talking about?
She's basically saying she does their dress. Now, check this out. She calls them slappers. Slappers is like slang word, and I guess from where she's from, as for like promiscuous girls. Girls, you know, fast girls, whatever. And then she also called them slores. So you know it's slow.
Wow.
But she says she likes their music.
Wow.
That's deep, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to play this, man. I told you I'm going to do this. We be back. I got some more to tell you when I get back. I'm going to tell you about what they say is the best thing to lose weight. What breakfast they say is the best thing to lose weight, all right? We be back. Right.
The world's a lot to stand in. I'm the radiator grill. Face full.
Bring it back soul right now. Right. Get ready to get deep. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
but to tell you, man, now this is what they saying, that if you eat once a day, it's good for you. A piece of cake. A piece of cake for breakfast will help you maintain your weight. They're debating over that. They're fighting over that, but they found the studies was true. Well, scientists did a study, because the reason what they're saying is that if you eat, people who eat breakfast with high carb, you know, do better than people who eat breakfast that has low carb. The low carb still have you hungry, and you still, and your body and your metabolism doesn't work right. Yeah, you might be, you know, and you might be saving weight, but you're not like actually giving yourself the necessary proteins, they say, in a lot of these foods. They saying cake and the sweetness actually fills you up, give you the proteins and everything. But one slice of cake. Now, fat girls, don't run out there and, oh, they discover something. And acting like when Christopher Columbus discovered America, you know what I'm saying? It's just, but no, because, no, you know, they always show the fat girls with the cake. You know,
yeah,
that's why.
Five.
You know, fat guys, too, you know. Fat guys, fat girls. Well, just people that eat whole cakes. Don't say Big Sue said, oh, yo, you know, you can go eat a cake. I'm just telling you what they were saying. But you got doctors actually fighting over this, dog. They're fighting. They're really getting at it. Like, some doctors is like, I will never tell a person to do that because, you know, with the obesity thing and all that. So, you know, it's supposed to get deep because, you know, supposedly, you know, who's going to get mad? Miss Obama, she ain't feeling that whole thing, you know? So.
Shoot, we got to get that high sugar with diabetes. What is this stuff, man? Today, somebody might take a little.
Exactly. And and the picture that they show is a big, you know, the cake, the Oreo cookie cake? The Oreo cookies and the chocolate and fudge. And a big slice of that, they show you that. And this one got mad Oreos and chocolate chips and, you know, it got the cream, like, you know, got the cream on top and the chocolate in the middle. It looks crazy. Like, it looked like they put extra in this cake. You know? But that's what they saying, though. What you feel about that?
No, I think that's a little crazy, man. I like cake.
You like cake?
Trying to
but
find
you
a way to make cake healthy. That's crazy. Cake is.
And it's crazy because they going real hard, like trying to get people to believe this. They trying to promote this, but you know what it is. There's a lot of people fighting it. They're not letting it go down. Some other new news, man. A lot of awards came out. You know, the awards in basketball came out for actually now is a new award in basketball, the best couples in basketball. Ever since Basketball Wives out, they be having a new thing, the couple of the year. But they haven't. They got down to two runner ups, man. Which is crazy. They got down to Lala and Mello.
That's
a good couple. You know what
that
I'm saying? I think Lala is probably the best original real basketball wife in the game. I give her her props. She carry herself with dignity, you know, and she gets money. You know what I mean? Like doing her own money.
Yeah.
And then they got Chloe and Lamar.
Yeah, she gets her own money too, but something just don't sit right with me with them, right? They getting along, they doing their thing, but I don't know,
maybe
man.
Maybe opposite
the track. Together.
Well, you gotta say, you know.
I'm sorry, man.
He's
never,
rich.
You know, first of all, I wouldn't buy a unisex perfume anyway, but. But the commercial, it looked.
Look.
Burn my retina, man. Like, you know, I she's cute, but she's more cute on the Frankenberry cereal side. Don't she look like Frankenberry?
Yo, you stupid, yo. Yo, do y'all see what I have to deal with, man? Why would you say that, man?
Come on, man. Matter of fact. You don't even got to take it from me.
He told
people have
now,
already
put
that comparison up on the internet. You'll see, put Frankenberry and Chloe, and you'll see the picture side by side, and you will fall out because you'll see that it's true. And I'm not saying she's ugly because she's not, but she does have
she got a Frankensteinish look. Frankenberry. You don't even say Frankenstein. You said Frankenberry.
No, she don't look like Frankenstein. She look like Frankenberry.
Frankie Berry's just Frankenstein looking a little happier because he got cereal.
Yeah, so Frankenstein is a female, not mad. That's her.
You're going to kill me in here, man.
You know what, though? I want to tell you something else, too, man. And this by no means, man, all kids are beautiful. All of them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But
I hope I'm
sorry,
to
man.
Say.
But Mariah, I just watched the BET. What was the awards? What was that like? They were celebrating people. Like they celebrated Maya Angelou. Actually, Michelle Obama was presenting. She presented to Maya Angelou, and they also presented an award to Spike Lee and Mariah Carey. And Nick Cannon brought his son out. And like I said, all kids are cute. But that son's head.
Wow.
You know what a kid looks like? I'm going to do another comparison. And I'm sorry,
oh
I apologize
God.
To everybody.
Oh, my God.
You compare, do a side-by-side. Remember the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Put them two together.
He's chubby, the little baby?
He's not chubby, but his head is huge. I'm saying he's got time to grow into it. His body
right.
can catch up with his head.
Well, you know babies all have big heads, though.
Nah, this kid head is big, man.
It's funny that you brought up Nick Cannon and Mariah. It's funny that you brought up their baby because there's a lot of people saying, is that his baby? Because, you know, the baby is but, you know, I'm hoping it's the case, you know, when the baby come out real light in the beginning, and then they go, look at the ears be dark.
Yeah, but
I'm hoping that's the case.
Mariah, what is her, father or mother is white?
I really don't know, but
one of her parents is white.
Yeah, I know one of her parents is white, but I know the little baby doesn't have so far. Both of the little babies are, you know, they don't look like Nick. No, they don't look like Nick. I just don't see it yet.
I think that's his baby, but...
No, I know it's his baby. I just say, you know, she overpowered him. Because they look like they was a nice couple. I don't think she was cheating or nothing like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that she overpowered them, you know. They don't look like Nick right now. You know, maybe when they get older, get a couple of haircuts. They got that Jesus hair. So, you know.
You ain't seen that boy, man.
I didn't see that boy. They cut his hair?
Yeah.
And at one time they had really good hair. You know, they was like little Prince Michael on them.
Oh, really? I don't know, man. He got cut.
What you feel about little Prince Michael?
Huh?
What you feel about let me tell you something. When little Prince Michael grow up, you ain't going to not, he can walk the street. You will not know that's Michael Jackson's son.
Yeah.
Unless he starts singing.
I'm not going to touch that subject. I'm going to leave
it. I didn't say that for you to touch it. I see something I got to watch what I say to you because.
I don't want to get banned, man. The show is doing good. I don't want to.
Yeah, I don't want you to go there.
Michael alone.
I love Michael.
Me and Rich used to have a battle in our thoughts. And you know, I'm gonna hold mine, man. Not only am I gonna be the fifth, I'm gonna drink it.
All right, but I got something to ask you about Michael and Prince. Say if Michael and Prince had beef, who you thought would have won?
Huh? If the
R&B game and their day was like the rap game, and Michael and Prince had beef,
who team would
be stronger?
You mean like strong for strong?
With the Jackson or Prince in the new revelation, which clique would be stronger?
Well. I don't know, man. One thing about Prince, man. Prince. I don't know, man. I think them high heel shoes, man. Hell out of Michael. Mike got them.
And he had a few posse.
Them penny loafers are soft, man. It's not going to hurt.
And, you know, Prince had a few posses down with him. He got a few clicks, you know, he could roll with.
Yeah.
But Michael got his little, you know, Michael got a posse, too. Because let me tell you something.
Michael got his two.
Let me tell you, when Mike at his heyday, he used to run through the streets with the army. Son, you don't remember them days? That's what made him start wearing that the army like suit, like the you know like when he put the brass and all on his joint.
Uh huh.
He used to be in Greece, and he running down the street with the whole army. We are the world.
You try to force me in, man. I'm not going, man. Not going, man. Usually I go. I'm not going. I'm leaving Mike alone. Mike, love you, Mike. I'm going to leave Mike alone.
All right, man. You know what I'm saying? You copping out, man. I'm trying to get you to be you, you know?
Or tomorrow when you click on Beast 2 Radio, you'll just say...
Because you know everybody love Mike, man.
Yeah.
But we're joking, you know, we're joking and we're having fun, but we got to get back to a real serious note, man, you know. Once again, want to say rest in peace, because we're going to be saying this all week, rest in peace to Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
And much love to her family. Can't forget her. Even with all the joking we're doing and all the fun we're having tonight, you know, still in the back of my mind, it's still, like, hard to believe that Whitney Houston is gone, you know.
Yeah. A lot of untimely deaths going on, man.
Yeah, man.
And, you know,
all
I mean,
Black History Month.
Yeah. I mean, they won't know for sure until, you know, the full autopsy. I think it shouldn't even be disclosed. I think whatever they think, they should just...
Yeah, just tell the family, man.
...with that. And not even disclose it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And nowadays, you don't know who to trust, man, because it could be a cousin that ain't doing so well. I'll sell a story, you know. It's so messed up now, man. Back family used to be family. Like, you used to couldn't break family up. Now, for some dollars, like, you know, there'd be that cousin that find out and can't keep the secret and sell a story to TMZ for $40,000 or measly $20,000, you know. It hurts so many people. Because now the new rumor that's coming out, which I really don't like, which I never know, but I'm going to ask you, have you heard this? Have you heard that the daughter was on drugs before?
Yeah, I heard that before.
Oh, okay. So it is something that is, because I found, you know, when the person told me, I was like, oh, come on, y'all, man, you know. But
young kid is fun, man. And then you got to think, man, she was exposed to that environment. She was exposed to two users, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in her rebellious stage, I'm pretty sure they're telling her, don't do it. I know they're not sitting there going, here, take it. But she's aware of what they're doing. So in her rebellious moments, she might have went to it, you know?
I'm still remembering the show when her sister, Bobby Brown, other daughter, and her sister's friend took her shopping. And, you know, she's kind of jealous because her sister brought her friend along. She wanted to spend some time with her sister. And she was little at this time. But you should have seen the wad of money that they gave her to go shopping with. I was like, wow. And she even her sister had to bug out on it. Her sister was like, what you doing with all that money? She was like, I want to go shopping. She said, so what you got money? You got money? She said, yeah. She said, let me see how much money you got. She said, I got this. It was like a big ball, I swear to God, crap. And it wasn't made for TV because you could see closely, you know, because I got a big screen. I don't really got to throw that in. But we see closely that there was $100 bills on that money.
Mm.
And I was like, wow. And the sister was like, what you doing with all this money? And she bought mad clothes. She bought herself mad clothes, her sister mad clothes, and, you know, brought her sister friend, little girl, buying her sister friend mad clothes. So, you know, if she's exposed to that and with access to money like that, damn, you know, it's just tragic, man. I just hope that don't push her back to experiment with it.
Yeah, I hope it won't. Okay,
but Bobby's doing great.
I got faith in that girl. I think she'll be all right. She bugged out.
Bobby's doing great,
like,
too.
Doing the whole
yeah.
face and showing herself. But I think she'll be all right.
But, like, on another note, like, Bobby's doing great, so she do have, you know, her father there if he comes in and step in the plate. And, you know, Bobby was always there. You never heard Bobby not being a good father. All you just really heard about was their arguments and their fights, but you never heard them being bad parents, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and their drug abuse. But, you know, once again, I don't know. I'm just a real Whitney Houston fan, man. You know what I'm saying? I think Whitney Houston, you know, they played a clip of her when she was 13 years old, man. Did you see that?
I think I saw it before. I didn't see it recently.
It was in the church. I think it's on YouTube, too. So you think y'all go out there and type up Whitney Houston, 13-year-old Whitney Houston, and it show her singing the lead in her mother's choir. A choir, and the bug out part, this choir is in Orange, New Jersey, right across the bridge. She's 13 years old, looking shy and skinny and nervous, and she's standing there and she's singing her butt off. It was crazy. But, Carzo, you know, I'm going to sew it up, man, now. Get some little soul to it. We're going to keep it back. This is the Monday Night Talk / Monday Night Throwback. Not Monday Night, the Monday Throwback Jam with DJ Big Stu and the Kappa bugging out. Yeah, we get into Tuesday morning, you know. Kay Nicole's in the building. She said, y'all be on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. Let's get into some music. Let's do it.
Baby, no more stalling. These times have been long.
time I hear this joint, I think about Nino Brown, man. You know, for some reason.
Still watch that.
Huh? You still watch it?
Watch that.
That's a classic. That's Trick Rock was Pookie. No, man. No, definitely. Nino, I need that, man. Nino, the thing keep calling me. Chris Rock should have got a Grammy for that role.
A Grammy?
He should have got an Oscar.
That's what I'm saying.
Forget it, man. Give him a Grammy, too. Adele is a new
thing
now.
Singing when he did that part of one and the two and the three and the four.
Two parts he should have got Oscar for. And the next one is for Gusto and CB4. I love
that. Yeah,
that
was an excellent performance.
The music, everything is CB4. I watch CB4 over and over and over again. They got like two songs in there that's really hot. Like hot for real, you know? And they stupid song, but they hot for real.
Now, have you ever seen Fear of a Black Hat?
Yeah, I seen that movie. Then what happened to those guys, man? Wasn't those guys a group too?
No, that wasn't real.
No, but I seen the movie Fear of the Black Hat. The dude, I remember that guy, but wasn't he in the group too? Like, what did they in the group? Like, also, like, they made a record or something? The guys from the movie?
Oh, D.Z.
Huh?
Yeah, D.Z. D, I think. He was the one that was in the group.
Yeah, I remember he was in the group, right?
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that.
They just vanished. But I remember that Fear of the Black Hat. That was a funny movie, too. It was deep, though.
Well, let me tell you what's weird about it. Did you notice that D.Z. D was in both movies? The movie,
no idea.
The same movie, he was in both. And they were made at the same time. So it's like, you know, who stole whose idea? Think about it. He was in both movies.
Yeah, he's in both movies, right?
Yeah, because, okay, he was one of the main characters in Fear of a Black Hat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No, I'm sorry. Yeah. In CD4, he was Stab Master Arson. And in Fear of a Black Hat, he was one of the rival group to CD4.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in that group. So how you end up in both movies? That's crazy.
You were a good manager, a good agent, or you did something sneaky.
Yeah.
We had a new surprise Saturday, man. Would you want to tell the people about that, you know, about Mimi's show? That we
new surprise?
I mean, well, it was a surprise last Saturday. It was a new surprise. I mean, you know, there was people that might not have seen the show. Do you want to tell people about her show? Describe it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man. We got a new host on the roster. Her name is Mimi. Her thing is pretty much everything fashionable or in vogue. So when she says fashion, it's not just, you know, clothes and shoes. It's electronics, you know, it's lifestyles. It's everything that's pretty much in vogue. And she calls it, I don't even like, it basically translates to hot talk. But it's the way they say it in France.
Uh-huh.
I don't like how it sounds when I say it, so I'm hot talk. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
So being a heterosexual male,
mm-hmm.
you know, saying it, it just doesn't sound like it's coming from me.
Well, all right.
I believe Saturday she's going to be talking about Apple technology.
Okay.
You know, the iPhones are pretty much...
She's very knowledgeable, too.
Yeah. You know, iPhones are pretty much taking over the world, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be talking about the different products from Apple and its impact on society.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up, man.
That's pretty interesting.
Make sure y'all tune in to that. Saturday's 10 p.m., Hot talk. Yeah, don't sound right. We'll get into some music.
Yeah, get out of that one.
This freaky thing is on, body bumping all night long. No doubt about it, if you want it, I can bring it on. Above
your
head, wanna
bump your body, baby.
On the dance floor,
wanna bump your body.
Don't stop,
wanna bump your body,
baby. Bring it on,
wanna bump your body. Wanna bump your body, baby.
And let me.
Girl, come on. Bump, bump, baby. You and me.
Oh,
peace to the great Gerald LeVert.
Yeah, man.
You know, a lot of things, man. Don Cornelius, Gerald LeVert, Whitney Houston, Etta James, Vesta, remember Vesta Williams? That's the name, right? Wow, man, so many, man. Michael Jackson. And we lost so many people in hip-hop. It's just, I don't know, it just comes back, you know, once again, it comes back to take time and just remember Whitney, Gerald. So many great singers, man. Why do the R&B singers go like that, man? Rappers, you know, I'm not going to lie, a lot of the rappers end up going by violence. You know, it's still sad, it's still a tragedy, but the R&B singers, they go by drugs or suicide, it seems like, man, or something strange, you know? It's always like they die with a question mark.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you know.
Last three, look, Michael Jackson, Don Cornelius, now Whitney, like there's always a question mark when an African-American, you know, celebrity or hero, whatever you want to call them, passes away. Why we always have a question?
I mean, that's just, we're just supposed to, you know, man, we experience the music biz, but not on the level that they have when it comes to millions of dollars. So now you got the music business mixed with corporate interests.
Mm-hmm.
That whole lifestyle, man, just, you know, there's a bunch of people doing it. You know, and then they, you know, be it stress or whatever causes them to do it, you know. Sometimes they just do it to be social, and then it becomes a habit. And it's how it
won. Yeah, and you know, the crazy part is like, yo, when I heard that her daughter was on Utah, and then you said it, I'm like, what? Like, when I first heard it, I'm going to be honest with you, when the person who told me it irritated me, I'm like, come on, why is this what you're going to say? And now you like the third person that told me they really heard that. So it's crazy, man. It's just really sad. It's just really sudden. And, you know, even last night, you know, I don't know if you listened to it, but we played the... Oh, but you know, you I think you did listen to it last night. I played the tribute to Whitney.
Yeah,
you know, and it was just every time I was playing a song, I was just sitting there seeing her, and I'm just like, I don't know, you know, when we leave, so many other people be hurt, you know. That's the one thing about it. We leave, but we hurt so many when we leave, man. And people like her, it's not just her family. It's you know. I remember listening to my man Kev get his cook on. He couldn't even talk. He was so, at the show at Hip Hop Cooking, he couldn't even talk. Like, he really couldn't talk. Like, I was looking at him, and he was really looking sad, and I was feeling sad, and Russ was feeling sad. We was trying to keep the show going, but then this was the night that it actually happened, you know?
Yeah.
Was it? Or the night after? No, yeah, the night after. Matter of fact, the night it happened, I was online. And the night before I talked, and what made me really feel bad about those situations is the night before I had heard that one of her friends had supposedly said she was doing so bad and asked him for $100 or whatever. And I talked about it the night before she, you know, the night before she died. So, you know, and I was kicking that, and I was basically, you know, kicking how I don't believe, you know, with the royalty situation and all the stuff she did, there's no way in the world she could be broke. Maybe it's just different, you know. And then the next day on the radio, matter of fact, I was on my way to the radio and heard it.
Hmm.
I think I was on my way after. When was it? It happened Saturday night? Yeah, it happened Saturday night. Yeah, I was on the way to the show. That's when you and Meanie was on, actually. I was on the way to do the Uptown Saturday night. I mean, the Uptown Saturday Jam. And I was driving, and that's when I think I heard you guys saying it. I'm not sure, but yeah, that's how I found out. Well, we almost getting close to the time to be ticking away, man. We're going to get into it. We're going to ride some music out on this next one to this time to OD. All right? And then we're going to come back, Cap, and guess we're going to say good nights to the people when we come back.
Yeah, man.
All right.
All right.
cause that's music in the air, lots of loving everywhere. So give me the night. Give me the night.
Not in there, living crazy, that's the only I want the world to know.
know, Cap, it's been a great show, brother.
Yeah, man.
Rocking to the AM, man. You got anything you want to say before we get up out of here, man?
Parting words. Look
there
both ways before you cross the street.
Look both ways before you cross the street. Well, yo, but you know what you do? Yo, tell them about where they can get your shirts, man. You know you got your shirts out, man.
Well, still developing some more, man. There's one now, the Occupy Wall Street joint. But, you know, ever since the little campus got kicked out, you know, government is something else, man. That's the effective way, man. You give them press, and then you move them so they don't seem important, and that whole movement stops.
Where can people purchase one of those Occupy shirts from?
Well, I mean, there's a direct
the
way,
right,
and
now
there's a link. So the direct way is zazzle.com/p-media. That's the word, P-D-A-S-H media. There'll be several more shirts that are going to be going up. Those are like the first ones to kind of experiment with the site. You know, I like the site. Or you can go to
they're pretty nice, though, the shirts, though. I like them.
Yeah, got hoodies, shirts. You can mugs, you can make iPhone cases. So we'll start putting up some more designs, and then, you know, listeners out there that actually make a Beast 2 Radio iPhone case.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Well, you know, I want to thank our guest that was on earlier. She was very interesting, Mr. Jane Conding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell you that, you know my joints is bad, you know, but hey, it is what I am. I am what I am, like Popeye, you know?
Yeah.
But, man, you know, it was a great show. I threw it back. We got, like, maybe, like, 50 seconds to go, man. And I just want to say good night. Tune in tomorrow to A Taste of Hip Hop Cooking. Kev's get his cook on, and Russ Drinks on. Russ will be in the building. I'll be on the ones and twos tomorrow night. Make sure y'all be there. And we be back again on Wednesday with Taste of Hip Hop. Then I'm back on the Thursday mix show. Then I'm back again Friday with K Nicole. And then I'm back again with Mimi. Well, I don't get a day off. You know, Kappa?
Yeah, I see that, man. You're the hardest working man in Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, man. Trying to be. But I just want to say good night, everybody, and thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now we're talking about beef stew.
Beef stew.
Try this beef stew.
Try this beef stew.